This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Super Bowl champ Chris Canty, getting you ready for night one of week one in the NFL here. And we got plenty more on that. We'll talk to Calvin Watkins covering the Dallas Cowboys in about 10 minutes and get you ready for that game tonight. But Chris, we were all hopped up to talk about football on the field, and the NFL news was very giving today. So I'm going to give you the choice. Do you want to start with the good news or the bad news today?
Let's go with the good news, man. I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
All right, let's tip the cup over then, because for TJ Watt, who had been the subject of a lot of conversation around us this week, we've heard from basically everyone in that organization. Mike Tomlin saying he believes TJ Watt's going to be out at the practice field. Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Hayward, two leaders on that team, both saying pay that man whatever he wants. They got their way today. He got a four-year, $112 million deal with a reported $80 million fully guaranteed at signing. Chris, I can't imagine a sweeter feeling here, not only for TJ Watt, whose family knows a thing or two about life-changing checks being handed out to pass rushers, but for the Steelers organization to now walk into the season eliminating that distraction.
Oh, absolutely. And for that locker room and for Steelers Nation, there's this huge sigh of relief because the best player on the team just got locked up on a long-term deal. And it was up in the air whether or not he was going to be available for week one just because they hadn't worked out the contract yet. And TJ Watt had taken the hold-in approach throughout the course of this preseason, trying to leverage the organization into paying him his money, who everybody from all accounts admits that he's worth. Like, when you have Mike Tomlin come out, the head coach, and say, we're interested in doing business with guys of his character and his productivity long-term, when you have the quarterback, Big Ben, saying that he took less money, as ridiculous as that sounds, for TJ Watt to be able to get his. When you have a team leader as respected as Cam Hayward come out and vouch for you in terms of what you're worth, like, all of those things point toward the Steelers organization and general manager Kevin Colbert being able to find a way to get this deal done. The Steelers have been resistant to structuring deals certain ways. They haven't liked to negotiate contracts into the regular season, so it kind of felt like this was one of those things where both sides were dug in. But ultimately, TJ Watt means too much to that defense, too much for this team, not to get this deal done ahead of week one.
So that's big-time news for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, unfortunately, the bad news comes because inside this same division here, we got a tough blow for the Baltimore Ravens. Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, reported that the Baltimore Ravens actually had to cut practice short today, now fearing that Gus Edwards, their third running back to go down this training camp, and star cornerback Marcus Peters, may have both torn their ACLs in practice today. And Chris, for this team, I mean, our football power index here at ESPN had them ranked fourth going into the season behind Kansas City, Tampa, and Buffalo. I just don't know how much more this team is supposed to be able to weather now that Justice Hill, J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards would be gone from that backfield. They signed Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell to that practice squad there, but those names sound great maybe 4 years ago, but for this current Ravens running back room, this thing's on life support already.
Yeah, it's all bad for the Ravens on the offensive side of the ball right now. I mean, they were shorthanded in the wide receiver course because of the injury to Rashad Bateman. And then, of course, with the injuries throughout the preseason, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and now Gus Edwards, like, the skill position players are struggling right now. And you couple that with the fact that you have a lot of moving parts along that offensive line and Lamar Jackson missing a significant portion of training camp with COVID. Like, it's going to be hard to imagine that this team is going to be clicking all cylinders on the offensive side of the ball. And then defensively, missing out on a cover corner like Marcus Peters, I mean, that's going to be huge for them. We just had Jameson Hensley on, who covers the team for the company, and he talked about him being the ball hawk on that defense, him being the guy that creates those turnovers, that guy that has that ball disruption. And so for a defense that's as aggressive as the Ravens want to be missing that piece of it, to not have that element, that's going to be a tough blow. So looking at the landscape of the division, it's hard to imagine that the Baltimore Ravens are the team that people have confidence in that's going to end up at the top after this division is all said and done with.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And the Cleveland Browns were two spots behind them, according to our football power index. Chris, I got to imagine.
Not no more.
Overwhelming favorites to win the AFC North at this point. Just because what you mentioned there, the ability to take it away and to bury people in that offense. So you're losing takeaway ability on that side. And then, Chris, offensively for the Ravens, I worry about the football. Because the other part of this running back room, you mentioned before, play action passing, what they were going to ask those backs to do. In helping out Lamar Jackson advance a part of his game they wanted to do more of with Greg Roman in that offense this year. I also worry about ball security in that run game. You know this, with this running back, that mesh point with a quarterback who's doing as much read option stuff as they do with Lamar Jackson, that's a feel thing for these running backs, getting used to having that ball pulled out at the last second, having that ball given at the last second for a guy like Lamar Jackson who's as potent as he is. And so now all of that timing that you work over and over, that you rep all offseason, all through training camp, all gone to hell in a handbasket now.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to worry about that too. That's not something that you just pick up overnight. Now, Tyson Williams is somebody that's been around the team for a couple of years, even though he hadn't played in an NFL regular season game. I mean, he should know, you know, the kind of the logistics and the odds and ends in terms of what they're going to be asking the running back to do from that standpoint of it. But the one thing that I get concerned with all young running backs is how they hold up in pass protection, knowing what you're supposed to do, being able to pick up the protections, the different looks that defenses are going to throw at you, especially with what this offense is trying to evolve to with putting Lamar Jackson under center more, utilizing play action pass with the quarterbacks back to the defense. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Tyson Williams to make sure that there's no drop-off in terms of him being able to shore things up for his quarterback and then being able to be an outlet, being somebody that's reliable and productive in the run game. So, again, this is something to watch early on in the regular season. We're going to see it on full display. That's the Monday Night Football game against the Raiders. So I'm interested to see how John Harbaugh and Greg Roman overcome the losses that they had in that backfield.
Chris, is it fair to look at this situation now? Because we had a lot of people coming into this season already looking for reasons to doubt Lamar Jackson. We heard those whispers about, well, the league has found a way to figure him out. Is it fair to look at this situation and say, all right, for a guy who's already hoisted an MVP in his career and is as great as people say he is, that he's got to lift this team through whatever the beginning of this season looks like with all of this uncertainty around him?
Well, yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson is angling for that big contract, right? What better way to prove that you're worth it than being able to elevate the talent around you? And certainly with all of the losses that they've had at the skill position players and the shuffling that they've done along the offensive line in the offseason, this is when you need your MVP to step up. Like, this is when you need Lamar Jackson to be a force multiplier. Now, the one thing that does concern me is putting even more of the burden on the run game on him, because he has led the team in rush attempts the last couple of years. I don't know if you necessarily want Lamar Jackson going over 200 rush attempts because you worry about him being able to stay healthy through a 17-game regular season. But, I mean, early on at least, you realize that you're going to have to rely on him a little bit more than you probably would like to, just because your team is kind of, you know, stumbling in terms of being able to form an identity with all of the injuries, all of the key contributors that are going to be out.
What an amazing byproduct of all this, by the way. True expectations, like real expectations, starting to mount in Cleveland for the Browns. Like, they're looking around and saying, all right, if you're a fan of the Browns, if you're someone that's bought into this 2020 team, you've got a Steelers team that had to really hockey line change their entire offensive line. That's in front of an aging quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger. This injury situation with everybody in Baltimore. Jamar Chase apparently has the yips out in the Bengals as they're looking to get Joe Burrow back. So if you're the Browns, the pressure is on you to not fumble the bag in a big-time way here as we head into the 2021 NFL season. We're brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, though, we'll get ready for the game tonight, Tampa Bay and Dallas. What constitutes success in year two for Mike McCarthy and this team? We'll answer that question next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And as we get ready for kickoff of Game 1, Week 1 of the 2021 NFL season between the Cowboys and Bucks, we head to the Goodyear Hotline with someone who is now, I see, putting up videos. We're getting ready to go here at the stadium. Calvin Watkins, who covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline here now. And, Calvin, I know you've been doing this since Chris Canty was down there in Dallas. Are you going to give up any good stories on my guy here or what?
No, it's all positive when it comes to Chris Canty, all positive. When I got the call that Chris Canty's on here, I jumped up and said, yes, sir, I will be available.
That's right, Calvin. You keep them stories. You keep them stories between me and you.
There we go. There we go. Live by the code on this one here. But Calvin, in things that we can talk about here, I saw you post the video right now. Dak Prescott out on the field, warming up, getting ready for the game tonight. Here, what's the sense about his status, injury wise, top to bottom, ankle to shoulder, heading into game one?
Well, the ankle is supposedly fine. In practices, we've seen him move around in the pocket, and he's running around. He looks good. You know, they have drills where the quarterback's got to scramble out of the pocket, and he's doing that well. As far as the shoulder goes, we've seen him throw 45, 50 yards. He's throwing with some good velocity, so he's not on the pitch count. He's not being limited in any way. So from what we've seen and from what they've told us, he's 100% ready to go.
Calvin, a lot has been made throughout the offseason of this new-look defense, all the new faces on that side of the ball, and Dan Quinn chief among them. But I want to focus on the young players. The Cowboys this past draft invested the first six picks on the defensive side of the ball. It doesn't feel like they've had that kind of commitment in a draft since the 2005 draft class that I was a part of. But just internally, how confident are the Dallas Cowboys about those young players on the defensive side of the ball being able to contribute early?
Well, they're very confident, especially with the first-round pick in Micah Parsons. I mean, this is a guy, they're going to have him all over the field. He's going to play middle linebacker. He's going to play defensive end. He's going to play outside linebacker. We've seen practices where he's blitzed through the A-gap. So he's all over the field. Then they got some other kids who they like. Osa Adigo Uza, who's going to be the three technique, the zero technique. He's got position flexibility. He's a third-round pick. He's going to start tonight and play inside. They like him. Then they made a lot of free agent decisions. I think they signed like six guys in free agency on the defense. So it's like 14 new guys they brought on a defense that was one of the worst in franchise history. Gave up more points and more rushing yards in franchise history last year. So you got to make some changes, and they did. And they've first commitment was hiring Dan Quinn, and he's a fantastic defensive coordinator. However, he did struggle a little bit in Atlanta. So you have to wonder, you know, is it the personnel or is it the scheme? So we'll find out this season, since the Cowboys are going back to a 4-3 scheme that they had a couple of years ago when Rod Marinelli was a defensive coordinator.
Calvin Watkins with us from the Dallas Morning News and the Goodyear Hotline as we get ready for Game 1, the Bucks and the Cowboys. We know Zach Martin didn't get on the plane to head out here with the Cowboys. We know they feel good about the starters in that group, but how are we feeling about this Cowboys depth along the offensive line that's going to get tested this game?
Well, Connor McGovern's going to start for Zach Martin, and the Cowboys like Connor McGovern. Yeah, he's played both guard positions. He's got a lot of reps in practice because there were times where they gave Zach Martin a day off, like a vet day, and we see Connor McGovern push off. He's a really smart kid. I like him. You know, Pennsylvania kid, you know, his parents own a bar right out there in western Pennsylvania, so he can drink a little bit. So he's got a little nastiness to him. Now, is he Zach Martin? No, he's not Zach Martin, but he's gonna have to do for right now. And, you know, Lyle Collins, he's got a stinger. He hasn't had a problem the last couple of days, so he's going to start at right tackle. So outside of those two issues, you know, the Cowboys feel like they're okay with their starting five. The depth, hey, who's got great depth, you know, at offensive line in the NFL? It's hard to find it. So we'll see what they can do tonight.
Calvin, I know one of the areas that the Cowboys wanted to focus on also is that secondary. A lot of young faces there. They brought over DeMonte Casey to be their free safety. They've got Trevon Diggs, that second-year player. But can you tell us a little bit about what their expectations are for this young secondary group coming into 2021?
We've seen a lot of improvement in Trevon Diggs from year one to year two. You know, Mike McCarthy likes to talk about the second-year jump. Because, you know, your first year, you're just learning how to play football again, the pro, how the pros do it. And now you don't have to worry about class. And so it's all about film work. So your head is spinning. In year two, you know how to be a professional. And that's where Trevon Diggs is. We've seen a lot of improvement in his game. Now, this is a big test for him tonight against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. The secondary, I like Donovan Wilson. You guys know him. He's a veteran, young veteran kid. He makes plays on the ball. Having KZ with him, I think the safety position might be okay for Dallas. We talked about Parsons, you know, but he's going to have Keanu Neal with him. He's a veteran guy, too. He's supposed to help out with some of these young guys like Jabril Cox. They're going to hold off on Jabril Cox. He's another linebacker they drafted. So by having Keanu Neal on the field, it allows Jabril Cox to learn a little bit, maybe for a year or two, before you can throw him out there. They got Nashawn Wright, another kid, a young corner. Kelvin Joseph, who they drafted in the second round, he's hurt right now. He's got a groin. He's going to be out for about 3 weeks. So those kids, you might not see them until later in the season, but they have a lot of confidence in them. But for right now, they got these vets. They're going to try to piecemeal it together until you know, these young kids are ready to go.
Calvin, we talk about the pressure playing in Dallas, and when Jerry Jones cuts the kind of checks that he has for the guys on this team, that's always going to be there. What does success have to look like this year for Jerry to feel good about what he's invested in here, for everyone to stay put as this core is currently constructed?
I'm going to quote that guy who just went in the Hall of Fame yesterday, Derek Jeter. If you don't win a championship, the season's a failure. And that's what Jerry's looking for every year, Super Bowl. And Mike McCarthy said it. He said, look, if you're not playing for the Super Bowl, what are we doing here? We're just wasting time. And, you know, every team you put together, you can't say the Super Bowl winning team. You know, because you don't know. Look at the team they're playing tonight. They were struggling. You know, I think they lost twice to the Saints. And I'm sure no one thought they were going to win a championship. But you got to play the season out and see how it goes. But that's the objective here in Dallas. So that's why when you walk into the Star, that's their big facility on Frisco, Texas, you see five Super Bowl trophies off to the side in the lobby. That's what they're playing for. And whether or not we believe that this is a roster that can get them to the Super Bowl or not is insignificant. It's what Jerry Jones wants, and that's a championship. And Chris knows that as well from playing there for numerous years.
Calvin, I know Dak Prescott has missed some time throughout training camp, and I'm just curious as to whether or not that's going to influence the Cowboys' game plan offensively in this game tonight, as well as early on in the regular season. What are they saying about what the Cowboys' path to victory is as far as the offense is concerned?
Well, you know, I'm a little concerned because, as you said, Dak has missed almost 3 weeks of practices because he was resting his shoulder. Defensive line had some issues. You know, Zach Martin missed the last couple of practices because he had COVID. They lost Lyle Collins for a stinger. So the continuity with the offense has been off. So that is a concern. Game plan wise, they got this kid named Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if you've heard of him. But I think he's going to get some touches. I think the best way to do it is to give the ball to Zeke. He came in a lot lighter. I think he's at 210, 215. He feels good. He looks good. Give him the rock. Let him carry your offense. And then once the Bucs start, you know, respecting him a little bit more, then you try to throw the ball down the field. They have three great receivers, you know, and Cooper and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. So, but for right now, I think they're going to keep it on the ground a little bit until Dak can get into a rhythm. And then once he gets into a rhythm with his receivers, then they'll throw the ball a little bit.
There we go. The Cowboys are going to start to get it going tonight, and all of us as fans are going to start to get going tonight and make sure we don't pull anything week one heading into what's going to be a long, great NFL weekend. Calvin, we appreciate you giving us some time. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you guys. Take care. Thanks for thinking of me.
Awesome stuff. Again, Dallas Morning News Cowboys reporter Calvin Watkins. Kind enough
That's
to join
guy.
Us. That is your guy. I'm still disappointed he didn't give up any stories. That's a good friend of yours.
Nah, man. That's how you know that's a good friend, when you don't bring that stuff to the airways, man. That's not for public consumption. Trust me, Mike.
Listen, that stuff stays right where it is.
There it is.
Far away from these microphones here. That's it, and that's all. Coming up next, though, we got to finally get to this, because one man, one of our colleagues, one of our friends, woke up and chose violence this morning on NFL's Christmas Eve. We will bring you the take that launched 1,000 other takes next after this word from Indeed. Running your own business requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. Brady versus Dak, next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll get to the emotional roller coaster that America went on last night watching sports, which by the way, is good practice for what we're getting ready to go through tonight, the Bucks and the Cowboys. We got to get back into game-watching shape, Chris. Like, I always found the first weekend when the NFL's back, because we've got 2 weekends of college football under our belt. I've gotten used to my Saturdays again. But now having to park it all Sunday, remember what it feels like to all of a sudden look up and wonder why my house is pitch black just sitting there watching TV like I've had with Scott Hansen in that red zone for 7 straight hours here. It's taxing on the part of the watcher.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you're talking about 10-plus hours when you consider the nightcap game. So, I mean, yeah, we gotta snap back. We got to get out of that preseason mode and get ready to lock in on the NFL. And it usually takes us a couple of weeks before we get to that midseason form in terms of being couch potatoes when the pigskin is getting kicked off on Sundays.
Exactly. You don't want to risk falling asleep during the witching hour. There's a lot of good football being played then. So, everyone, take it slow. Make sure you stretch out. Make sure you hydrate properly. And get right for tonight. Now, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. And I love this. Dominique Foxworth is one of my absolute favorite people at this company. Longtime NFL veteran, does a great job writing over at The Undefeated. And he has been out here very publicly and very recently today saying Dak Prescott is better than Tom Brady as we head into the 2021 season. And lest you think this is something he is new to, no, I promise, he is true to. This is Dominique Foxworth back on August 30th on Get Up, boldly predicting that Dak is going to outdo the GOAT in this 2021 season. Take a listen.
Dak Prescott has been outstanding. He's outplayed Tom Brady when he was healthy. So, like, I think that it's a reasonable expectation. The 4 games that Dak played before the 5th when he got injured in, his numbers, all of them, like the advanced numbers, the counting numbers, all the advanced statistics, he was better than Tom Brady in that. The entire season before that, where they both played all 16 games, Dak Prescott was better than him in all the advanced statistical metrics then, too. So, like, I find it hard to believe that all of a sudden Tom Brady is going to be better than him. If Dak remains healthy, Dak's going to continue to outperform Tom Brady.
Leave it to the defensive back to be fearless in every situation, Chris, when it comes to this. But it is interesting. So the NFL or ESPN.com put out a list of the top 50 players in the NFL heading into this season. And they had Dak Prescott ranked ahead of Tom Brady in this spot here. Are you buying this for a 44-year-old quarterback in Tom Brady coming off the Super Bowl performance last year? Is this realistic to you, or is this something that we got to push to the side?
Mike, I got to pump the brakes on this one, and it's no disrespect to Dak or Dominique. You know he's always repping for Dak Prescott, cousin Dak, saying that he deserved that money. I'm not mad at Dominique, especially when it comes to take integrity, because he's been consistent about how good Dak Prescott is. But when we just think about Tom Brady and we think about the production, I always have to inject in the conversation context because that matters. When you look at Tom Brady's last year in Foxborough, it's not like he had the supporting cast that Dak had to work with in Dallas. And then last year, Tom Brady being parachuted into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team in the previous season that was 7-9, and making them a Super Bowl winner. I think those things have to be factored in when we start talking about a quarterback's impact on his team winning. So while I recognize that Dak Prescott is the more talented player at this stage in their respective careers, I'm not ready to say that Dak Prescott is the better player when it comes to that head-to-head comparison with Tom Brady.
I think it's interesting because I actually think I agree with Dominique here. Just if you're going to really siphon it down to just that, hey, if you put, like, Chris, I look at it this way, and I think we brought this up during the break. If you took Tom Brady and put him in the same situation with the Cowboys last year, are they doing better than they've done with Dak or than they would do with Dak? I doubt that just because, again, this Tom Brady, you talk about context mattering. Tom Brady walked into a situation down in Tampa where they had an offensive line that was better than people gave him credit for. They had a defense that was rounding into top five form during that Jameis Winston 30-touchdown, 30-turnover season. So things were trending in the right direction down there, even if the record didn't necessarily give that away. And so I look at that and say, for a 44-year-old quarterback who is not going to be able to protect himself when things break down, who doesn't have that dual threat element that so many of the young quarterbacks in this league have now, I don't think he'd be able to affect the Cowboys team in the same way. I don't think in a spot where you're asked to overcome some of the things that Dak's had to in the last couple of years that you could have Tom Brady be as successful in that spot because he's limited in some of the ways, because he's a 44-year-old man in some of those ways. So I don't think it's all that far-fetched for that reason.
Well, I don't think it's far-fetched. I think it's an interesting conversation, and we're talking about the difference of one spot, right? Because Dak Prescott is fifth.
Yeah.
and yeah. Tom Brady is six. So, I mean, you're splitting hairs at this point. But when it comes to whether or not Tom Brady would be able to have that same impact with the Dallas Cowboys, like, Mike, I got too much scar tissue in my matchups with Tom Brady to doubt him at this point. Like, I'm not going to be one to do it. I'm going to be the last person to that party. So when it comes to making sure that you show him the requisite amount of respect, I'm going to do that for Tom Brady forever and always until he proves otherwise. And so, yeah, I don't know that it would have been the same type of impact had he left Foxborough and went to Dallas, but I wouldn't at all be shocked had he been able to go to Dallas last year and turn them into a playoff team, especially when you consider the division. So I'm not saying that Tom Brady is going to have the same level of productivity in terms of statistics, but in terms of the overall impact on the culture and the team being able to win, especially when it matters the most, I've still got to give Tom Brady the edge, even though I recognize that Dak Prescott has some pretty special intangibles in his own right.
I will say, too, Chris Canty saying that, who has been on the winning side of staring down that Tom Brady barrel and still having that kind of respect, tells you something about how we should all feel right now. When it comes to Nick Saban and Tom Brady, we all live in perpetual fear of poking the bear too much in either of those situations. And thankfully, neither of us have to poke the bear tonight. We are going to leave that one to the Dallas Cowboys. As again, 8:20 Eastern, kickoff, week one. Game one of the NFL season, and it all starts tonight. But coming up next, the guest coming to that party that I don't think anybody asked for, but that showed up nonetheless. We will get to the merch heard around the world next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's that damn time, baby. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Our thanks to Viking safety Harrison Smith, who joined us earlier, Rick Stroud, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Calvin Watkins covering the Cowboys, and Stanford Steve getting you right for the bets on the weekend. If you missed any of that, the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, as we at ESPN Radio are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. It's the one you got to get stuff done. And Chris, we were insulted during the last break around here because you and I are sitting here and I'm talking about, I just ordered a bunch of wings for tonight to watch the game. I'm excited. Shout out to Jay Timms in Connecticut. And we're sitting here and we talked about, you know, you mentioned, all right, how many are you going to order here? We're going to go with the 50 pack, something like that. And Cliff, our producer, looks up like we would somehow have a problem with 50 wings. The cloth that we are cut from. Chris, I don't know what to do with this situation because I'm almost legit ticked right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the guys behind the glass in the control room think they're dealing with, but we're both linemen. We're both big guys, and we know where the good eats are at. So to think that we couldn't inhale 50 wings in one sitting when we got football on, you are misguided, my friend. I can't stress that enough. Like, that's absolutely crazy. It's preposterous to think that we couldn't sit down and eat 50 wings when we got football on the TV.
Bamboozled,
tonight.
Run amok, and led astray, Cliff.
Yes.
Listen, I know y'all formerly part of the 300-pound club. Maybe you still are. I'm not sure where your weight is right now. But I guarantee if you try to take down 50 of them things right now, you're going to be put to sleep. You can't do it. I give you a nice 35 to 40, but you're going to fall short. You're not Joey Chestnut. You're not in that class.
No, hold on, Cliff. You're right. I'm going to be put to sleep after I get done with the 50 wings. Like, the itis is definitely going to set in. Don't make any mistake about it. But you saying that I can't get the 50 wings down, that's the part where you're slipping up, my friend.
During the time frame of the game?
Well, I know this is new, but I'm just telling you, you're tripping if you think I can't eat 50 wings in one sitting, especially when football is on.
How about this? When you come up here on that Monday night football game, we're going to put you to the test and see if you can knock down 50 in a sitting of a game.
All right, I'm in it, but you gotta make it worth my while now. We gotta have something on the line.
We gonna put something on the line. Don't worry about it. All right.
Man, see, you know what? Chris Canty just very politely said, you don't know me, but you're about to learn real, real quick. So
you're gonna learn today.
You're gonna learn today right now. That is what we're talking about here. This feels like football season. Let's bring this thing home and keep that same energy. Keeping that same energy, Chris, someone who's gonna be buying food for everybody in the near future here. T.J. Watt, the Steelers star pass rusher, agrees to a 4-year, $112 million deal, according to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. You can't hide money in Pittsburgh anymore. Everyone knows where the bank is now.
Yeah, absolutely. T.J. Watt is paying for everything for the defensive guys. All of those dinners that they have throughout the season, it's on T.J. Watt because he just got that bag, $80 million guaranteed. And from the reports, they're saying that he left money on the table because he wanted to be back with his team on week one. So shout out to T.J. Watt and the Watt family. It's a great day in that household.
Yeah, Christmas is going to look interesting around there. I got to imagine the gifts are pretty plentiful and huge. So keeping that same energy. Chris, I don't know if you watched any of this from last night. The U.S. men's national team squaring off against Honduras. Obviously, these are World Cup qualifiers. And what an emotional roller coaster. The U.S. men's national team ends up winning. Ricardo Pepi led them to victory 4-1. But man, I was watching the timeline and people were stressed watching this one.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pretend like I'm a fraud and like I watched the game last night. But I didn't have to. Just seeing people's reaction on social media. It's the youngest starting lineup for a U.S. men's national team out there in a qualifying match. They went out there and they got the job done. So shout out to those guys for being able to step up in a major way, because we hadn't really been able to say that about that program in recent years.
No, I didn't watch a second of it. I saw every tweet and then I woke up and it was 4-1 and I'm like, whoa. Was this a different game? Did I miss something here? Damn. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keeping that same energy as we get ready the final week before the season. How about this? Mac Jones and Justin Fields, among the most popular jerseys heading into the NFL season. The two rookies, Mac Jones, who will be the starter for the New England Patriots, and Justin Fields, who's going to start the season backing up Andy Dalton in Chicago. Chris, I can't say I'm overly surprised here, especially in New England, where once this guy was drafted and we saw his march towards the stage to meet Roger Goodell, this felt like destiny.
Oh, absolutely. You start talking about Boston being one of the major markets, you know that that fan base is going to jump behind the successor to Tom Brady, and Mac Jones being tabbed that guy coming out of training camp in his rookie year. That's saying a lot, especially when you have a coach like Bill Belichick who's not one to trust young players early on. So I'm not surprised to see that jersey selling like that. I'm also not surprised to see Justin Fields' jersey, because the Chicago Bears fan base has been starving for a quarterback for a really long time. The thing that jumped out at me is seeing Josh Allen's jersey at the top of the list for the highest sellers coming into 2021. I did not expect that.
I can tell you from experience with Christine Lisi, our SportsCenter Update anchor and one of the biggest Bills fans I know, Bills Mafia has been waiting a while to get this kind of quarterback back in their loving arms, and it seems like they're not going to let him go. They're going to make him feel nice and supported out there. But, Chris, keeping that same energy, we're not surprised by those jersey sales necessarily. What I was surprised by is, as we're getting ready, Ed Sheeran is going to be playing the kickoff concert tonight starting at 7 p.m. Eastern before the Bucks-Cowboys. It's the league's 20th season having the Thursday night kickoff event. Ed Sheeran, certainly big-time, multi-time Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter. What I was not ready for was the merch. The NFL shop just put out a bunch of Ed Sheeran NFL merchandise here. Hats, T-shirts, a bomber jacket. And Chris, while I'm first team all bomber jackets make everybody look better, I'm blown away by the fact that mathematically there is going to be at least one person that shows up to an NFL game in the next 2 weeks head to toe in Ed Sheeran NFL gear.
Yeah, I'm not sure who asked for Ed Sheeran NFL gear. I know you made that point earlier in our production meeting, but this is just one of those where I shake my head at. Usually I'm one of those guys that says the win is the try, and I get that the NFL is trying to have that crossover and mass appeal. But this one just doesn't seem like it fits. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We'll see how the sales work out, but I just feel like this is a swing and a miss from the NFL.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one to see how much merch. And listen, this is a league that knows how to make money, that is in the business of printing even more of it. So I got to imagine there was a focus group, there was some sort of flyer, there was something that told them that people were in on this. And I just want to know, at Mike Golic Jr., ask Chris Candy 99, who are you? Who out there?
I don't know where them folks is at, Mike. I don't know, and I don't anticipate we're going to see a whole lot of them showing up at Tampa tonight at Raymond James Stadium when the Bucks are lowering that banner from being Super Bowl 55 champs. I guarantee you we ain't going to see the Ed Sheeran merchandise crowd in that crowd.
God, give me this gift of Tom Brady showing up to the stadium wearing the Ed Sheeran NFL bomber jacket. We can only hope, but as Chris mentioned, Chris Canty, Mike Golic Jr., Ed Sheeran or not, we got NFL's Week 1, Game 1 starting tonight, 8:20 Eastern. The Bucks and the Cowboys at long last are going to kick this thing off here. Make sure you stick around for that one here on ESPN Radio. I am going to go grab the wings. Maybe I'll grab 50. Maybe I won't grab 50. What I won't be is doubted by our staff around here. If you want to stick around, Spain and Fitz going to be up next, taking over for us on ESPN Radio.